shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, June 24th, 2015, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne today. We bow ourselves down, Lord, spiritually and our hearts. And Lord God, we ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit have its way today. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Let the words resound around the world in the love and all that you have prepared for today, Lord, in the hearing from our heart and from our spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking our place on the cross, and we ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit go out through the airwaves today to touch the hearts and minds and souls of your people. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another captivating episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. Today, as we begin the show, I would first like to give you a lineup of just what will be exposed by the time this broadcast is completed. In this broadcast titled Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, you will be given a glimpse as to what is really going on in the New America, of which we now find ourselves living in here at 11:59 and split seconds away from the imminent return of the one and only Savior of all mankind, who is none other than Jesus Christ. You will be introduced to some very shocking truth and what you do after hearing it to get your spiritual life in order will be solely, wholly, and totally between you and the Lord God. What I am about to share with you is pretty much beyond belief, but verifiably true. You will need to pay close attention to the details of the facts that will be presented, for the subject matter is intense and must be handled with care. Due to a lack of biblical and prophetic knowledge on the part of most. What is to be shared, my friends, today will widen your view concerning just how the much talked about and soon coming New World Order, One World Government, and One World Religion will soon seem to just suddenly spring onto the scene before your very eyes. What is about to be shared sheds more light on some of the things that have been taking place in the United States over the past few years, and especially over the last few months, weeks, and days. With that said, we will open with the latest manufactured tragedy to hit the southeastern part of the United States, which has been labeled by the media as the Charleston Church Massacre. My friends, I would as well like to begin by saying that I love all people by way of and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of whom, if any, that lost their lives through this evil plot and for the purpose and for, my friends, the purported shooter and his family, my heart goes out. With that said, we must ask the question, though, in these very strangely produced events, was this an act of a false flag production? My friends, the terminology false flag, according to Wikipedia, describes covert or secret operations designed to deceive in such a way that the operations appear as though they are being carried out by entities, groups, or nations other than those who actually planned and executed them. Operations carried out during peacetime by civilian organizations as well as covert government agencies may, by extension, be called false flag operations if they seek to hide the real organization behind an operation. Grant Hughes used the term to refer to those acts carried out by military or security force personnel, which are then blamed on terrorists. The name false flag has its origins in naval warfare, where the use of a flag other than the belligerent's true battle flag as a ruse de guerre before engaging the enemy has long been accepted. Such operations are also accepted in certain circumstances in land warfare to deceive enemies in similar ways, provided that the deception is not perfidious, and all such deceptions are discarded before opening fire upon the enemy. Now, I am sure that most of you are probably horrified by the mention of such a thing, which indicates to me that the Lord now has gained your attention, which would be a good thing. My friends, there are many things that are askew, or in other words, out of place, when it comes to placing this seemingly horrific attack, which has been perpetrated against the gentle, godly, kind, and loving people of the city of Charleston, South Carolina, in the category of a lone wolf attack. Why? Well, as you will see, there are many reasons for this consideration. First, we must ask ourselves what dedicated person sits in the house of God filming on their phone during their Bible study, being sure to get the only white guy in the room on camera. I don't know, but that is exactly what I saw on the news. Next, the person designated as the shooter, whose name is Dylan Roof and is said to be 21 years old, has or had a Facebook page that looked as though it had just been set up and contained 88 friends, of which was said by the media to be a covert white supremacist symbol. Not to mention the fact that all of the pictures that the media have been showing of Mr. Roof paint this young man as an angry white supremacist. The only problem with that is when the photos are viewed in succession, it really appears to look more like a professionally staged photo shoot. And when the article that I'm about to share with you is taken into consideration, of which portrays the white supremacist movement as wanting no part of this situation, is also somewhat telling us that something is just not right. The title of the article is "White Supremacists Worried Charleston Shooting Makes Them Look Bad," posted by the HuffPost, June 18th, 2015, of which begins by saying, out of Washington, white supremacists on Thursday quickly tried to distance themselves from the suspect in the mass shooting at a, and here's a word that's going to become the mantra, a historically black church in Charleston. Worried that a white man killing 9 people in a black church in South Carolina looks bad for them and their movement. Quote, "This is going to be really bad, I'm afraid," wrote one white nationhood in a discussion thread on the white nationalist site Stormfront. Condolences to the families. The media and the left will use this to support their narrative that whites are slaughtering blacks, added Matt White America. It will not matter what the truth is. From there, as we move ahead to our next thought on this matter, it's rather strange that this would all take place, that this would all, my friends, just happen to take place in South Carolina, of all places, not to mention at a well-known historic black social justice church that was founded before the Civil War, burnt down during the Civil War, and rebuilt after the Civil War, and is, furthermore, a church that Obama himself has been to, and that the current late pastor was as well a state senator. AME Church is also a church that Martin Luther King Jr. has had dealings with in 1962. Not to mention that in the beginning of this church's stint, which began in 1816, one of the founders was said to be part of a slave revolt, of which he was executed for. Concerning the timing of the shooting is a very interesting point as well, for this shooting took place at the very same time as what is called an active shooter's drill was taking place in the city of, guess where? Charleston, South Carolina. According to a report titled "Active Shooter Drill Took Place at Same Time as Horrific Charleston Shooting," posted by IntelliHub, of which states, the existence and use of false flag terrorism across the world has long since been established. From the Reichstag fire to the 9/11 terror attacks, alternative researchers and open-minded individuals have proven that rogue elements of various governments, including the U.S. government, can and do engage in false flag terror. One of the major signs that an event may be a false flag is the scheduling of some sort of a realistic drill that just so happens to simulate what then ends up actually happening. On 9/11, this was apparent when the numerous exercises simulating the hijacking of a commercial airliner were literally being conducted at the exact same time as the attack itself. Now, information has come to light proving that an active shooter drill was being conducted in Charleston, South Carolina, on the same day that the mass shooting happened to take place at the historic Black Church. Both FBI agents, as well as local law enforcement, were in the middle of a pre-planned five-day active shooter training exercise when, according to mainstream media reports, a white racist opened fire and killed nine Black churchgoers. What does it mean, the writer says? In the fact, of which I do agree with, my friends, in fact that an active shooter drill was happening at the same time as the Charleston, South Carolina shooting does not in itself mean that the attack was a false flag, but it does add a thick layer of suspicion onto the attack. It is important, they say, and I also say, to note that if this was a false flag, it absolutely does not mean that no one was killed or that the attack wasn't horrific and that it wasn't a horrific terror attack, says the writer. What it would mean, and this is coming from the writer, but these are exactly the same words I would have used. What it would mean is that the shooter either had help or was a straight-up patsy, and that the nine people killed in the attack were killed not because one person was racist, but because they were being used as pawns in an operation to further racial tensions in America, in turn leading to a possible race war between poor white and poor blacks while the real elite sit back and enjoy the ensuing madness. That's where they ended it. But remember Jade Helm? Remember the talk of people talking about gun control, taking away your guns, martial law? How could it all go together? Keep that thought, my friends. If this is true, says the writer, it becomes even more important to expose the true fact and get real justice for the victims' families, as well as reveal to the American people what is actually going on within the government. And my friends, on that informative note, I'll be right back after the break to bring you up to speed as to just why any of this would be taking place at such a time as this.
Turn your eyes.
The Newsboys, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My friends, that's what you need to be doing here at 1159, because soon the lights are going out in this place, and the bride of Christ is going to be gone. And with that said, my friends, something wicked this way comes concerning this very high-profile Charleston, South Carolina, historic church shooting. I find it very weird that there are all kinds of reports being circulated by the internet, most of which do not coincide with the TV news reports, such as yesterday, June 23rd, 2015, while I was watching the nonstop reporting on CNN concerning the tragic mess. They interviewed a woman who was at first reported as being one of the slain at the church last Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. She said that she had come to the church for Wednesday night service, and here is where it gets really weird. She then said that the service was supposed to begin at 6 p.m., as noted on the church's website, because I went and looked, but for some reason was delayed until 7:30 p.m. She then states that she had an air conditioning issue at home and had to leave to meet up with someone to look at the problem, and continued by saying that since then she has asked for all news reports to be corrected that claimed she was dead, because her entire family, not to mention her friends, had been traumatized by the hearing of the news. What is really interesting, though, is that when I went online to find the story she had told on the news, CNN, I was met with not hide nor hair of any story concerning her being dead or alive. The next weird thing, my friends, we have in the account of this goings-on is a woman who was said to be the only person left alive by the gunman so that, quote, she could tell the story as to what had happened. Well, guess what? There is not one story concerning an interview with this so-called woman. All we do have is this statement, quote, he told one woman, I'm not going to kill you. I am going to spare you so you can tell them what happened. Charleston, South Carolina, NAACP President Dot Scott told CNN, based on accounts from the woman's family. Next, it is very interesting that all the accounts of what took place at the scene being reported in the news are being referred to as someone told someone. And it is how everything related to the event is being reported. Take, for instance, this report of which is said that, quote, a court affidavit from Charleston police said Roof's father called them on Thursday morning to identify the man seen on security camera footage at Emmanuel as his son, of which goes on to say many of Roof's Facebook friends, including those from his high school, are black. Another high school friend, Antonio Metz, told the AP that Roof has black friends. Yet, the cousin of the church's pastor who was killed quoted a survivor who said Roof told the church, quote, I have to do it. You're raping our women and taking over the country. You have to go. Moving on to another very strange thing about this event in Charleston, South Carolina, is the mass money collection that has and is taking place, beginning with the U.S. government, the city of Charleston, South Carolina, several major corporations, a multitude of well-meaning individuals and various human rights organizations and groups. Here's a brief rundown. Current as of yesterday, June 23rd, 2015. South Carolina Electric and Gas Company said Tuesday it would donate $100,000 to Emmanuel AMC Church. And Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina announced it is giving $75,000 to the Mother Emmanuel Hope Fund. Both companies also said they will provide a dollar-for-dollar match to employee contributions following the shootings in Charleston on June 17th that took 9 lives. Then we have this article from last week titled U.S. to Fast Track. That's our favorite word nowadays, isn't it, my friends? Fast track. U.S. to fast track $29 million to help Charleston shooting victims' families. Posted by Reuters, June 19, 2015. Of which begins by stating out of Washington, where else? June 19th, Reuters, the Justice Department will fast track the sending of $29 million to South Carolina to help families of victims of the mass murder of 9 churchgoers at a historic black church in Charleston, a Justice Department spokesperson said on Friday. An unspecified portion of the money allocated under the government National Crime Victim Alliance Formula Grant Program can be used to provide services to the families of victims of the shootings at Emmanuel AMC Church, spokesman Kevin Lewis said. The next plea, my friends, for money comes from AMC Church itself, who is asking for donations for the shooting victims, of which has, at the time of my information gathering, had already raised $55,884. The caption under the dollar amount read, keep those numbers going up. Boeing Corporation has given $100,000. The Carolina Panthers have given $100,000. And the city of Charleston, $5,000. The city of Charleston's website goes on to say that by using the Mother Emmanuel Hope Fund, this city's fund will provide direct financial support for the funeral and burial expenses of the 9 victims of the senseless tragedy. Any funds remaining after the funeral and burial expenses are paid will be donated directly to the AME Church for use as determined by its leadership. Donations to this fund are not tax deductible. As of 9 a.m. Monday, June 22nd, 377,425 had been raised. The site goes on to say as well that the Low Country Ministries Reverend Pinckney Fund will be administrated by the Palmetto Project, a South Carolina nonprofit dedicated to improving the lives of South Carolinians. 100% of the funds donated will be used in this community to support local initiatives serving his home church, vulnerable populations, and youth projects that Reverend Pinckney, Senator, Pastor Pinckney, was so passionate about. Decisions on the use of these funds will be made by a task force of stakeholders made up of a member or members of Reverend Pinckney's family, colleagues, and representatives from Emmanuel AMC, Historic Black Church, and other members of our community selected for their specific expertise. These donations will be tax deductible. As of 9 a.m. Monday, June 22nd, $70,338 has already been raised. Moving on to Time Magazine Online, where it was as well said that from June 24th through July 24th, 2015, individuals can make $1, $3, and $5 donations at any Charleston area Harris Teeter, which is a store chain. Combinations will be split even, or contributions will be split evenly between the two funds above, or those which were just mentioned, my friends, and will be matched by the Harris Teeter up to $30,000. Last but in no way least, we have the humanist givers, of which would not be possible if the cause were actually for giving to a Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-believing, faithful, and true church of the one and only true and living God, preaching under the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit in the name, word, and saving blood of his one and only begotten Son, of whose name is Jesus Christ. The humanist movement, by way of Indiegogo Life, has raised $13,055 and says that all monies we raise past our goal will continue to be donated as we show that hatred, intolerance, and racism are unacceptable in our society. They go on to write a blurb about how they feel concerning the event in Charleston, South Carolina, by stating that humanists condemn the unspeakable shooting deaths of 9 people at the historic Emmanuel AMC Church, AME, could be a movie theater, AME Church in Charleston, Wednesday, 6/17. Violence motivated by hatred, intolerance, and racism has no place in our society today. And we want to extend our deepest condolences to the families of those who died. All funds from the campaign will go directly to the Mother Emmanuel Hope Fund, which helps the families of the victims involved in the shootings. This campaign was organized through South Carolina humanist groups, but all donations are welcome. Is that a hoot? So if you want to be a born-again, spirit-filled, you know, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, you can go ahead and give your donation through the Humanist Intolerance Fund, but I wouldn't recommend it. They then go on to list some interesting named websites of their supporters, such as Camp Quest, South Carolina, CSRA, non-theist group, Free Thought Society of the Midlands. And there again, last but in no way least, Florence, atheist and secular humanist. Okay, my friends, now, I will bring all of what has been shared to this point together so that you may see what is really taking place in the world that we now find ourselves living in here at 11:59 and split seconds until the imminent return of the Lord and only Savior, Jesus Christ, for his faithful, spirit-filled, and led church. My friends, the plans of the one and only true and living God is at this very moment, as well as at every moment, is being propelled forward and fulfilled at lightning speed in the spirit by way of the deluded and delusional thought patterns and actions of many who are propelled by way of the power and working of Satan's demonic and satanic spirits that are in full swing in the moving of America out of her sovereignty into a one world system, which consists of a new world order where there is no currency, no guns for individual ownership, or more importantly and notably, no freedom to worship the only Savior of all mankind, who is none other than Jesus Christ. Therefore, for all intents and purposes concerning the subject at hand, there is only what is called, listen up, social gospel, of which is what is carried out by the AME, so-called historical church, and others like it. Wikipedia states that the social gospel movement is a Protestant, shall we say, so-called Christian intellectual movement that was most prominent in the late 19th century and early 20th century. Social gospel principles continue to inspire newer movements such as Christians Against Poverty. The movement applies, there again, to the so-called Christian principles. The movement applies their so-called Christian principles, shall we say, to social problems, especially poverty or inequality, liquor, crime, racial tensions, slums, bad hygiene, poor schools, and the danger of war. Theologically, social gospel leaders were overwhelmingly post-millennialist. That is, that they believed the second coming could not happen, which I do believe they are trying to refer to the rapture, because the rapture and the second coming are two very different things. Cannot happen until humankind rid themselves of social evils by human effort. For the most part, they reject premillennialist theory, which was and is still, my friends, predominant in the southern United States. And if that includes in Arizona, well, yeah, you got me. According to which the second coming, but really we'd be talking about the rapture, of Christ was and still is, my friends, imminent. And that Christians should devote their energies to preparing for it rather than addressing the issue of social evils. Social gospel leaders were and still are, my friends, predominantly, get it, liberal politically and theologically speaking. That's, you know, the type that would be a pastor and a senator at the same time, you know, playing the black and the white. You know, there's no way, my friends, that you can be on both sides of the fence. You have to serve one master and kick the other one to the curb. Of some, my friends, which were the 1950s black leaders, like Baptist minister Martin Luther King, and the civil rights movement, Wikipedia as well states that the social gospel was not only felt in the U.S., it was also found in Britain and Canada. The social gospel movement in the United States was parallel to the so-called Christian socialism movement in Britain at about the same time. The two movements came together in Canada, where they were especially influential. Many ministers became active in the socialist movement in the form of the Cooperative Wealth Commonwealth Federation, or CCF, and later the New Democratic Party. Tommy Douglas, a Baptist minister, was leader of the CFF from 1942 and the premier of Saskatchewan from 1944 to 1961, where he led the first socialist government in North America and introduced universal public Medicare to Canada. Can you say Obamacare? From 1961 to 1971, he led the New Democratic Party at the federal level. The social gospel has even had its time and place in the history of literature. In literature, the social gospel theme is reflected in novels such as In His Steps, 1897, and The Reformer, 1902. Creations of the Congregational minister Charles Sheldon, who coined the motto, get this, my friends, what would Jesus do? Oh, and we thought it was only for the 90s. WWJD. Sound familiar? In his personal life, Sheldon was committed to Christian socialism and identified strongly with the social gospel movement. In the novel In His Steps, which the central culture of was not about personal redemption, but about moral choices related to encountering circumstances of poverty and deprivation, Sheldon's theological motif reflected his socialist outlook. Sheldon's own parish work became identified with the social gospel, which was a clear-cut expression of early liberal so-called Christianity. Towards the end of the 20th century, let's say in the late 1990s, Sheldon's novel In His Steps was brought back into print in a shrewd marketing trick that was accompanied by a variety of consumer goods carrying the slogan, what would Jesus do? Folks, here's the zinger. The primary consumers of these goods were and are within the evangelical and, unfortunately, the Pentecostal churches, whose conservative theology and biblical beliefs are the exact opposite of the social gospel. The irony being, then, that today's consumer who attaches deep significance to the slogan is largely unaware of the context in which it was coined. Uh-oh, dupe. Again, because you do not know God's word, you do not know it well, and you do not know it for yourself. That's why. One theologian, James Smile, has analyzed the impact of Sheldon's novel and argues that it offers a poor calculus for mature, ethical, and moral decision-making on the part of a Christian. My friends, what I believe he was saying is that those who call themselves Christians, such as those who practice social gospel, lack the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit in the area of discernment, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that only comes from the throne of God. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but of Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, and to the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be the glory forever. Amen. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, or let a curse be placed on him, my friends. Paul goes on to say, as we said before, so say I now, and I am with you, my friend Paul. If any man preacheth any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men? Or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, just as Paul did, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. My friends, we must watch out who we associate with, even in the church world. The spirit of Antichrist is running rampant in this last hour. What, may I ask? What, may I ask you, is your mind set on? Global warming? Our global evangelism and the word of the one and only true and living God's one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, which, may I remind you, is still the only way to heaven, as it is stated in the word of God. For John 14:6, Jesus speaking to Thomas said, saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, Paul said this, For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, which is the church that we're living in now, my friends, one that is all about riches, and they're blind to the fact that they're as poor as a church mouse in the things of God. Paul says, For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or cares of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, spiritually speaking, my friends, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, which is the indwelling power of God's Holy Spirit, my friends, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul says, By way of the power and anointing of the one and only true and living God's Holy Spirit, be ye not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that reapeth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, my friends, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friends, stay on God's path, not man's. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, Paul says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you, for the third time it's said in the word of God, with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore not partakers with them. Well, my friends, now you have it. The Lord God has drawn you to this place at this time to show you what is going on all around you in this last hour, just before Jesus' imminent return, not in the second coming, but in the rapture. If you go in the rapture, you will return with the Lord Jesus Christ in his second coming, which is outlined in Revelation chapter 19, my friends. Here we are at the almost breaking of the eastern sky and the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride. Christians, my friends, are not called to be human superpowers in the stamping out of global, social, or public and human or personal injustice. Injustice, what does it mean? It means unfairness, prejudice, wrong, and discrimination. Every single one of those things is what Jesus Christ suffered, and much more, on the cross. My friends, Jesus has already taken care of all of that by way of the work that he did upon the cross of Calvary. All a person has to do is receive it in its fullness, surrender their mind, heart, will, and life to the Lord and only Savior, who is Jesus Christ. As outlined in God's plan of salvation, that has already been set down in eternity past for all mankind that will choose the path that God has provided through the precious and holy shed blood of his one and only begotten Son, who there again is none other than Jesus Christ. For my friends, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree," meaning person in this case, my friends, "that beareth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire," better known as the lake of fire, my friends. "Wherefore, by their fruit ye shall know them. Not everyone," Jesus said, "that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Therefore, my friends, do as the word of the Lord God has instructed us to do, which is to believe in his one and only begotten Son, who is none other, there again, than Jesus Christ. And allow him, Jesus that is, to live out his life through you by and through the indwelling power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit. But you must first invite Jesus into your heart by asking him to forgive you of your sins and asking him and him alone to be the Lord, Master, and only Savior of your life in the here and now. Then you must seek the Lord God for the indwelling power of his Holy Spirit, which will present himself initially with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as the Word of God states. My friends, as strange as it sounds, the Lord God says in his Word that the demonically inspired of this present world are in reality bringing into fruition his perfect will and plan for those who love him and serve him and his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ. And he speaks about it in Revelation chapter 17, verses 7 through 17, of which, my friends, you will have to read on your own for today. And with that said, I just want to say shalom and blessings. The show has gone long today, and I'll see you next week. God bless.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on DoubleWideNetwork.com, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily located on the DoubleWideNetwork.com Streams in the Desert Live landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving